we meet on holy ground. For that place is holy, where we meet one another, where lives touch, where love moves, where hope stirs. There is holy ground. How much we need this moment before the eternal, the time to be in reverence before the ultimate, the pause that renews, the interlude that refreshes, the space that gives us room to be. We meet on holy ground, brought into being as life encounters life, as personal histories merge into the communal story, as we take on the pride and pain of our companions, as separate selves become community. We meet on holy ground. May our souls capture the treasured time. May our spirits treasure our meeting in this time and this place. For we meet on holy ground. I'm going to light my chalice now. We light this chalice to bring light to our minds, wisdom to our souls, and warmth to our hearts. Light to show us the way, wisdom to walk it truly, warmth to enfold our fellow pilgrims with compassion. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other, in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away, and the clouds of war hover. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. May we remember that caution is still needed, but close contact is still unwise. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, victims of violence and war, suffering in any way. Amen. The first of two readings from Leading Congregations in Worship, A Guide, by the Unitarian Universalist Association's Commission on Common Worship. Worship can have different purposes and functions. For example, much traditional worship is viewed as a drama, depicting the divine human encounter. It is directed upward to God, inward to the individual, and outward into the worshipping community and the world at large. The Roman Catholic Mass, for example, represents in ritual form the coming of God into the human sphere. The worshipper is called to be part of the sacred event and to be transformed by it. This view of worship is sacramental. Words and actions are believed to participate in the divine reality. Many traditional Protestant services may be described as educational. Their main purpose was to proclaim and interpret the word to the congregation. Scripture reading and the sermon were central, the latter being an extended interpretation of a biblical text. The appeal was to the intellect and the will, rather than the senses. And these are our roots. Most Unitarian worship today is educational and verbal. Most Unitarian worship is also thematic, expressing a particular idea or message. Its goal is to move people, and through them, society, to help create community, justice, equality, and to widen personal horizons. Worship as celebration emphasizes the artistic. It attempts to reflect all of life, taking note of the realities already present in the worshiping community. Its purpose, however, is not to create community, inspire social responsibility, or teach a lesson, but is simply to reflect, to celebrate. I invite you to join with me now in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our second reading from Leading Congregations in Worship, a Guide. A very different form of worship can be called liturgical. The word liturgy comes from the Greek liturgia, which means the people's work. Typically, much of the service is read or responded to by the congregation. Familiarity with the material is important. The worshipper enters as a spectator. Liturgical worship usually follows a pattern that attempts to touch certain human needs, rather than to express a theme. The material used gives opportunity for people to praise, express gratitude, acknowledge errors and shortcomings, experience healing and forgiveness, feel connected with the church community, be intellectually stimulated, affirm and dedicate themselves to common values, experience something of the transcendent, etc. Liturgical worship need not be sacramental in the traditional sense, nor need it imply a conservative theology. But the service is a drama, an orchestrated event, a blending of responses, litanies and prayers. The sermon is integrated into this pattern. The repeated elements become, for the worshippers, a common body of devotional material, made familiar through frequent use. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, once more we have gathered to worship, to bring our praise and thanksgiving to you, source and symbol of all that we hold to be good and true. Once more we commune with each other, to affirm and celebrate the life you give us, and all that makes it creative and eternal. Once more we commune with you, opening ourselves to your spirit, rediscovering the divine dimension of our own being, blending mind and spirit in the quest for truer service. Once more we bring our fractured, fractious selves to this sacred place. Help us to make peace with each other. May all enmity and resentment be consumed in the furnace of your love. Amen. Our final reading is from Unitarian What's That? By Cliff Reid. Most Unitarians would say that worshipping together is at the heart of all that we do. Most Unitarian communities gather in their churches, meeting houses and chapels on Sundays to worship. In worship, we affirm the faith and the values that we share, while being respectful of our differences. Unitarian worship seeks to engage the whole person, as well as the whole community, in what goes on. Thus, while the spirit and the soul are addressed, so too is the mind, the faculties of thought and reason. Even the body is included. Singing is, after all, a physical activity. Sometimes the body is involved in other ways too, in movement and dance, but this is much less common. The form that Unitarian worship takes varies considerably. There is an increasing wish to explore new forms. It is still the case, though, that most Unitarian services take a form closely akin to the hymns, prayers, readings, address format long familiar in nonconformist churches. But while the form may be similar, the content is usually rather different, often markedly so. I invite you now to join in a time of stillness and reflection, to sit in a position which is comfortable for you, so that you are able to sense the presence of the Spirit among us and between us, across the miles, across the technology. There will be some words, there will be a time of silence, then a few more words. We gather here to be quiet and to pray, to find a time for our inner selves, our souls and spirits, which lie hidden and often neglected within us. Let us now sit quietly and wait for the voice within us. Let us listen and be still. Some of us will feel empty and tired, grey and listless. But emptiness and tiredness are also prayer, a cry for spiritual food, and an aching need for soothing refreshment and strength to go on. Some of us feel alone, aware of our need for someone to love us. This too is prayer without words, a longing and a sorrow which seek for the healing spirit of love, the embrace of God's concern for us, in spirit and soul, and in the practical hands of people. Some of us are happy, some content, some have hope and plans for tomorrow. All these are prayers, prayers of giving, prayers of gratitude, prayers of creating thoughts and dreams. Let us gather with our wordless prayers, prayers of our inner selves, our inner truth. May God be with us in these prayers, sustaining them and enabling us to grow more aware of our wordless selves and the waters of our own spirit, which are always there for us to drink if we will sit still, wait and listen. Amen. Let's have some music. Thank you. During the autumn training day, last Saturday, Simon Hall asked the participants why we engage in worship. This service is an attempt to answer that question. Because, of course, there may be many reasons. As Cliff Reed wrote in our final reading, most Unitarians would say that worshipping together is at the heart of all that we do. We are a faith community, not a social club, nor a pressure group, nor any other kind of community. The ground of our shared community is that of being fellow pilgrims on a spiritual journey. And communal worship is an important part of that journey. Although many Unitarian congregations may offer diverse other than Sunday events, the one which all congregations offer is Sunday worship. Our first two readings from Leading Congregations in Worship, a guide by the Unitarian Universalist Association's Commission on Common Worship, explained some of the many different kinds of worship that we might find in a Unitarian community: sacramental, educational, thematic, celebratory, and liturgical, although some are perhaps less common than others, and various rituals, including chalice lighting and candles of joy or hope and concern or sorrow. Flower communion and Christian communion are also part of the worship experience in many Unitarian congregations. But this morning, I am more interested in exploring the purposes of communal worship. Why we do it every Sunday, or however often our congregation meets. There can be many reasons, for example, to share our doubts and questions, to mark the rhythm of the seasons. Many Unitarian congregations will have celebrated either the pagan festival of Samhain or the Christian festivals of All Saints and All Souls last weekend. To share our stories, to be in connection with each other and the divine, to search for a deeper truth and meaning in our lives, to pray together, to learn and grow as people, to learn about our faith and ourselves, and to inspire us to be better people. For me, it meets a deep need for connection with the divine, which I do not get in the same way when I pray alone. There is something about sharing a time of worship with others which deepens the experience, I think. A good worship service needs to be relevant to the lives of the congregation and should include worshipful elements such as hymn singing, prayer, and times of stillness and reflection. There were three questions about Unitarian worship, and more specifically, about the use of ritual and liturgy in worship services, in my 2017 survey of contemporary beliefs, values and practices of Unitarians in the UK. The words ritual and liturgy seem to have much baggage for Unitarians. Although I think we often do ritual without realising it. For example, I lit our chalice candle this morning, which I do every week. That is ritual. And some would argue that liturgy is everything we do in worship. As we saw in the second UUA reading, the literal meaning of the word liturgy is the people's work. It is all the bits of the worship service in which we, the congregation, participate, rather than being passive listeners. There are many different elements in a typical Unitarian worship service. Gathering words, chalice lighting, prayers, readings, hymns, a time of silence, an address, and closing words. Over the last 40 or so years, I have noticed a move away from purely word-based services towards services with more ritual and liturgy, because they do add another dimension to our worship. But some Unitarians feel inhibited about being asked to participate in rituals, which take them out of their comfort zone, especially if this comes out of the blue, with no prior warning. But the majority of the respondents to my survey questions either enjoyed the chance to worship with all their senses and or loved being able to participate more in worship services. As I explained in the book, respondents who liked ritual and liturgy did so for three reasons. First, they were seen as providing some structure and familiarity to a service. One person commented, "I appreciate the value of ritual, the bonding that comes with hymn singing." A worship leader stated that a familiar form, whether ritual or liturgy or both, used regularly, is a comfort for a congregation. And those who come from a background where liturgy was used seem to welcome that in a Unitarian service. The second reason was that it creates a sense of community, common purpose. The third reason was that ritual can introduce a non-verbal element into the service. One wrote, "I think some ritual, count, sound, colour, movement, has value, mystery." Another suggested that it may have a role in establishing a feeling of a sacred place. Quality and relevance were seen as key factors to whether a particular ritual or liturgy works as part of worship. One of the most fascinating aspects of Unitarian worship for me is our strong desire to mark the rhythms of the year. Many Unitarian congregations enjoy following the basic round of the Christian year, including special services for Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost or Whitsun, Harvest, although that is, strictly speaking, a pagan festival, All Saints and All Souls, Advent and Christmas. Others much prefer to follow the pagan wheel of the year and celebrate its eight festivals, Samhain, Yule, Imolc, Spring Equinox, Beltane, Midsummer, Lunasa and Autumn Equinox. And of course, there are also civil occasions such as Holocaust Memorial Day, various LGBT Memorial Days, and Remembrance Sunday that are also commonly celebrated in Unitarian worship services. It seems that the impulse to mark the circling of the year is a deep one in many Unitarian communities. Perhaps one way of examining the purpose of worship is to ask ourselves, what would I miss if I didn't do it? As a worship leader who rarely gets the chance to participate in worship as a bum on a pew, I miss the regular nourishment that receiving worship brings. The painter Vincent van Gogh once wrote, "One should never let the fire in one's soul go out, but should stir it up." And I believe that this is advice that all ministers and worship leaders who spend their lives giving to others should heed. Because we will not be able to give of our best from our souls if we do not also nourish those souls by receiving what we need. Worship, inspiration, knowledge and hope. Which is one reason why the time I have just spent at the Nightingale Centre at Great Hucklow, attending the autumn conference of the Ministerial Fellowship, was so important to me. It was such a joy to experience worship without being responsible for it. I strongly believe that all worship leaders, whether lay or ministerial, need to regularly recharge their spiritual and emotional batteries by doing this. Because it's not possible to nourish our congregations if we ourselves are empty inside. And I believe that it is the most important purpose of worship. It enables the participants to recharge those spiritual batteries and to return to their everyday lives, refreshed and strengthened. The fire in the soul which Vincent van Gogh talks about can be stirred up by new experiences, by worshipping with others, so that it burns brightly again. I believe that participating in worship can help to enable us to grow into the best people we can be. It can give us a foundation of love and connection, which can feed our deepest selves during the weekdays between services, so that we are able to respond to others in the best, most compassionate ways, and also care for ourselves, so that we can live with our whole hearts, authentically, creatively, and deeply. I'm going to finish by repeating part of the beautiful words of Stillness and Reflection by Isla Forrester, which formed our time of stillness and reflection. As for me, they sum up the true purposes of worship. We gather here to be quiet and to pray, to find a time for our inner selves, our souls and spirits which lie hidden and often neglected within us. Let us now sit quietly and wait for the voice within us. Let us listen and be still. Some of us will feel empty and tired, grey and listless. But emptiness and tiredness are also prayer, a cry for spiritual food and an aching need for soothing refreshment and strength to go on. Some of us feel alone, aware of our need for someone to love us. This too is prayer without words, a longing and a sorrow which seek for the healing spirit of love, the embrace of God's concern for us in spirit and soul, and in the practical hands of people. Some of us are happy, some content, some have hope and plans for tomorrow. All these are prayers. Prayers of giving, prayers of gratitude, prayers of creating thoughts and dreams. Let us gather with our wordless prayers, prayers of our inner selves, our inner truth. May our experiences of worship be nourishing and deep and rich. Amen. Some closing words. Spirit of life and love, may we come to worship regularly so that we are able to nourish our souls. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other. And may we keep up our hearts now and in the days to come. Amen. And we'll finish with some music.